This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Linda Chamberlain knows 8 people with mental illness who have recently died, and she says that medications and nutritional issues are to blame. She recently told the Toronto Star newspaper, some of these medications are giving people diabetes. 10 years ago, Linda was taking 7 medications to deal with her own mental illness, was overweight, and had developed diabetes. Linda made changes in her life, and she now leads workshops on exercise and healthy living at a community health center in Toronto. Physicians and patients have long known that some commonly prescribed medications called atypical antipsychotics can cause obesity, metabolic disorders, and diabetes. A 2009 Canadian study also quantified patients' increased risk for coronary heart disease.
We're joined on the phone by Linda Chamberlain. Welcome to People First Radio, Linda.
Well, thank you very much.
Linda, tell us more about the 8 people who have died that were mentioned by yourself in the Toronto Star article.
Yes. Well, a lot of them were my friends. I live in supportive housing, and I actually run a food program here. And so, you know, people come down and help out. And it's terrible when someone's so young. And most times they put in the paper, died of natural causes. Well, I don't see nothing natural dying at 40 years old. You know, and it's really sad because with the medications, can you imagine with the medications they're taking for, say, schizophrenia or bipolar, and then they're taking medications for diabetes and along with a needle. That's too much medication going into the system. How do you know which one works?
What do we know about mental illness, psychiatric medications, and health issues that is related to what you're seeing amongst the people around you? What are you aware of in terms of what you've just mentioned in terms of medical information?
Well, I know for myself, when I was on all these medications, I was suicidal all the time. I wanted to throw myself into the subway. I wouldn't even go into the subway because I know I would do it. I wanted to die, and my mood swings were terrible. I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't want to go out. I'd cry all the time, and I decided, you know, there's something wrong here. So I went to the pharmacist, not the doctor, and I said, I want to come off these medications, and I had to do it one at a time. It took me 2 years. And I can't tell you, when I come off all these medications, the facial tics I had, the movements and the winking and the blinking and the side effects from those medications started to go away. It did take a long time, but I couldn't tell you how good I felt. I felt like I was, like I'm 61. I feel like I'm 61 going on 20. I jump out of the bed in the morning with my cats. I have energy like I never had before. Yes, I do get depressed, and that's why support is very important. So if my support worker came to my house and saw my place looking not too good, well, they know something's happening. I'm going to start to break down. But I saw this doctor. He mentioned about, you know, giving people small doses of medication and working up. One pill, not 7-8 pills. That's too many. And then because the medication does give you diabetes down the road, and not only that, you know your teeth start falling out. There's so many things that happen, and if you have a good doctor to go through, and sometimes they don't have time to talk to you, and as soon as you go into a family doctor and you mention that you have a mental health issue, that's all they talk to you about is your mental health. And I remember telling a doctor, I've got a doctor for my head. I come here for a tune-up for my body, and they just can't get past that.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca.
Dr. Tony Cohn is the lead psychiatrist in the Mental Health and Metabolism Clinic at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health in Toronto. He says that recent research conducted by the center underscores the importance of attending to the physical as well as the mental health of patients with serious mental health illness. Dr. Cohn says patients should be screened regularly for diabetes, high blood pressure, and increased cholesterol, and that the primary health care system should work closely with the various mental health systems. We're speaking with Linda Chamberlain, who has personally experienced health problems associated with medications and mental illness, and recently told the Toronto Star newspaper that mental health patients are dying at young ages.
Linda, you were touching on your own story just a few moments ago. I'm wondering if you could speak a little more about your own personal process and how you were able to move from a place 10 years ago from taking 7 medications and having all of these various symptoms to the place that you're at right now. What were the things that helped you make those changes?
Well, the one thing that helped me was not only being a patient at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health for over 40 years, I actually started working there as a peer support worker on the very same unit I used to be a patient. And I noticed with the people there, just like I was myself, so many people put on so much weight, like from you start taking medication, it just starts putting the weight on. And it's really sad. And so knowing, being there as a patient and seeing what, and then of course having all that weight on, I started exercising, walking. I'd take people out for walks and take them out for lunch, and I'd do fun things. On the unit when I worked there, I would put on like the Jimmy Simpson tape. I started dancing. I called nobody because it's about choice, not to force people. I'd be dancing to this music. Next thing I know, the patients and the nurses are dancing with me. And then I brought on drums on the unit. We played the drums with a beautiful volunteer. And you won't believe in that moment, just people just doing a little bit of exercise, it made them feel good, and the smiles on their face in that moment, it was just amazing. I can't say enough about CAMH. That's a beautiful hospital, and the doctors are fantastic. Working with the psychiatrists and the nurses and other people, I started taking people out for walks. And if you're too heavy, it's really hard to walk, so that's why I would do the dancing. And people started doing that. And then when I started to be down in South Riverdale to do a diabetes training, people couldn't walk because they were so heavy and they were so tired from the medication. So I'd put on music, and people would get up and just start dancing. And laughing is so good. I do laughing yoga as well, and it's good to have a good belly laugh. And when you get in the moment, then now I'm getting people to go aqua for swimming that wouldn't even go out. So it's about making people feel good and work together as a team so we can help each other.
Linda Chamberlain, you spent 3 decades battling schizophrenia, homelessness, and poverty. You've managed to emerge as a much stronger person from these challenges. I'm wondering, what encouragement and specific encouragements would you like to give others who are facing these challenges?
Yes, to believe in yourself that recovery is definitely possible. And by getting into groups and meeting with other peers that have the same issues that you do and work together. Like in the summertime, I'm going to have Come Walk Your Dog to Keep Fit, but you don't need a dog to join, to get all the consumer survivors out and to have fun. It's about having fun, laughing, feeling good about yourself, and knowing that you're not alone, that recovery is definitely possible, and you'll feel a lot better, being with a group of people that have the same issues, to work on these things, to find out what's available in the community that you can access to help you.
You also operate a small nonprofit organization yourself, which is involved in taking care of the beloved pets of people that face emergencies in their lives. Tell us a bit about that work.
Yes, I started the People and Pet Program about 3.5 years ago. And the reason why I did that, because I was homeless and toothless myself with my cat. Both of us were homeless and our teeth were falling out. And I remember a beautiful policeman got a store owner to take my cat so I could go into a shelter. And now that I moved into supportive housing 15 years ago, it's really when I changed my life around, is I thought, when people in the hospital, they go in there for 3 or 4 months, the staff worker has to take the cat down and put it down. The person comes back out, now they're feeling better, and the poor cat or dog is gone, and it's put them back into a thing. I thought, I don't want that ever to happen to anyone else if I can help it. I house 3,086 cats and 15 dogs. I have beautiful volunteers to help me. I do get some funding from time to time. Global Foods gives me free donations of cat and dog food, which I share with people that need it when they run out of money. And it's about supporting each other and paying things forward. And if we just did one baby step like that, what a wonderful world it would be. And it's just amazing. I just love everything I'm doing.
Linda, we have just a couple of moments left in our discussion today. I'm wondering, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation?
Well, I'd like to thank you for having me, but I want people to know that we, you know, we can make changes if we all stick together and voice your opinion and in a nice way. And if there's any issues that you need, let people know and work on these issues to help, because it's out there for the asking, but you just have to ask the right questions to get some help.
Linda, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Linda Chamberlain is a psychiatric survivor who advocates for more supportive housing for people with mental health issues in the province of Ontario. She shares her personal story, conducts and presents research, and stands up for human rights to demonstrate and promote the life-altering benefits of supportive housing. Linda also runs a nonprofit group called People and Pets, a service to support people who are going through travel emergencies, hospitalizations, or homelessness. Her service ensures that beloved pets will be cared for in emergency circumstances.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.